Now, are we on? Here we go. How's that? A little bit better? Okay. I'll be putting my leprechaun hat on later. So much stuff I've got to get arranged today. All right, now, time to get serious. So Tom was walking through a meadow one Sunday when he heard clackety, 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 clack. Tom thought that was an odd sound to hear in the middle of nowhere. So he stood on tiptoes and peered over a gray stone wall, and sure enough, he saw a wee little man wearing a cocked hat on his head and a leather apron. The little man was drinking from a pitcher and pounding away with a tiny little hammer on a wee little shoe. Tom had never believed in leprechauns, but suddenly there was one right before his eyes, and he knew all about them. He knew if he could fool one, he'd be rich, because he knew that leprechauns guard pots of gold. He knew if he could catch this fella, he'd ask where his treasure was, and the leprechaun would have to take him there. But he knew he must never let him out of his sight, not for one second, or he would disappear. This is a true story. So, keeping his eyes on the little old man, Tom walked forward and said, "God bless you, neighbor." The leprechaun looked up and said, "Thank you." Tom asked why he was working on a holiday. It was St. Patrick's Day, you see. The little man just shook his head. "Nobody's business." But he did offer to share his beer. When Tom heard that, well, he knew that this was a real live leprechaun, because they make homemade beer. Quick as a flash, Tom reached for the leprechaun and caught him by the arm. He spilled all the beer from the pitcher, and when the leprechaun looked out up, he saw a different fella. A fella who looked mighty wicked. Tom told that leprechaun he'd harm him if he didn't show him where his treasure was buried, so the leprechaun said, "Come along, it's just a few fields away." This is not a good beginning. Not a good beginning to this relationship. And off they went, Tom holding the leprechaun tight, never taking his eye off him. They crossed hedges and bogs and ditches, and everyone knows that the leprechaun was only trying to make the journey harder. At long last, they came to a field full of ragweed, or bullion in Gaelic. And the leprechaun pointed to one of the plants and said, "Dig under there. That's where my gold is buried." But Tom didn't have a spade, neither did the leprechaun, so he knew he'd have to run home to fetch one. He thought a minute now. How would he remember which bullion it was? Then he grinned. He took off one of his garters, a red one it was, and he tied it around the bullion. Then he set the leprechaun free, and he ran for home. He got a spade out of his father's barn, and he raced to the field. But when he got there, what do you know? Every single bullion was wearing a bright red garter, one identical to his very own. And he knew if he wanted to find that treasure, he'd have to dig up that whole field. So Tom went home cursing the leprechaun every step of the way. And that is a true story, more or less. Maybe a wee bit less than more. Choir, what's the title of our hymn? There we go.
The choir will be singing, "Oh, Had I a Golden Thread," by Pete Seeger, as arranged by Peter Amidon.
Thank you.
So sweet. Thank you. Thank you. And written by Pete Seeger? Yes, by Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger, the most famous Unitarian Universalist of the 20th century. One of our own. So you remember the story about Tom and the garter and the gold, the leprechaun. It turns out that at the time all those things were happening with Tom and the leprechaun and the pot of gold, Maeve McGee was watching from a nearby tree she'd climbed. She was a little girl who had that bright red hair which seems to glow in the sun, but she'd kept herself hidden in the leaves. She saw how Tom had been fooled, so she made a plan and took to hiding in the tree every day, always making sure to keep a spade right with her. Then one day she saw him. She saw the leprechaun again. He was drinking from a pitcher, pounding away with a tiny hammer on a wee little shoe. Maeve tiptoed close. She reached out and grabbed him tightly. "I've got you," she cried, grinning ear to ear. "Now show me where you've hidden your gold." The leprechaun could see the determination on her face, plain as the freckles. "You want my gold, do you?" he asked cautiously. "I do," said Maeve firmly. "And what would such a wee girl do with a big treasure?" "Share it with everyone," Maeve said. "All the people who need money and things." The leprechaun just looked at her, amazed. He'd been caught plenty of times, and he's tricked his way out of many traps, but no one had ever talked about sharing the big crock of gold. He was so surprised that he led Maeve to his pot of gold, and when she began to dig, he took that spade and dug it up himself. And just like he promised, Maeve took that pot of gold and shared it with everyone. At least, that's the story that Maeve McGee tells. What's your favorite part of that story? My favorite part is where the leprechaun likes Maeve's plan so much that he digs up his own pot of gold to spare her the labor. Telling stories is my favorite part of the work that I do. The golden part, the golden thread that weaves it all together. Even if Maeve McGee never met a leprechaun, there's real gold in the story that she shares. There might never be enough to pay for everything people need, but stories are like a pot of gold that can be shared around the whole wide world and dipped into for generations without ever running out. Sometimes I can tell a story from my life and hope that will inspire you to reach down into the pot and pull up one of your own. Often after a service, that's just what happens. People come up with their own stories. I can share a memory, and then maybe you will remember something that you'd also forgotten. Which reminds me, besides catching a leprechaun, where else can you find a pot of gold? Well, yeah. I'm glad we have so many people here with a solid science background. Well, that's right. At the end of a rainbow, when our own leprechaun at home had begun to walk and talk, Pam and I sometimes found ourselves missing the days when we could lull him to sleep by putting him in the stroller and walking around the neighborhood, or just around and around the living room if it was raining. We had to find other ways to tire him out so that we could have adult time. I confess that sometimes I would take the little leprechaun outside and get him to play fetch like a puppy. He couldn't catch yet, but he could run and get the ball. "Good boy, bring it to daddy," over and over. "Good boy, bring it to daddy." Cruel, you might think, but effective. Then one day we found something even better. I was heading outside with my boy and the ball when a rainbow appeared, looking like it was just down the street a few blocks away. I said to Saad, "Look, wouldn't you like to touch it?" "You bet he would." "Touch that," he yelled, and he started running. "Touch that, touch that." One block, two blocks, on two very short legs. A cloud hid the sun for a minute or two, no rainbow, and there it was again. "Touch that, touch that." This time, it was maybe a little more like a kitten chasing a spot of light from a laser pointer. I had to carry him home, but what a nice nap followed. But you can't really reach the end of a rainbow, can you? not the end or any part of it. As you approach, the rainbow always seems to move away from you. Can you get behind one? I suppose you can. I suppose we've all spent time behind the rainbow that beckons to the people who are coming our way. We just can't see it ourselves. Come to think of it, where is the rest of the circle that the arc we see suggests? Not even quite half a circle, is it? Is the rest of the circle lying on the surface of the earth on which we travel, or does it continue underground, or at least the invisible parts of the spectrum? Have you ever wondered where the rest of that rainbow is? I wonder if we could think of the rainbow as a one-sided object, kind of like a Möbius strip. That's named after the German mathematician who discovered it in the 19th century. Give a strip of paper a simple 180-degree twist, join both ends with tape or glue, and you get a one-sided object, or more correctly, a surface with one continuous side. It's also, like the rainbow, an object with some curious properties. And look now. I happen to have one right here. I still have my leprechaun scissors. I found this outside, right among the ragweed. So, if you took a simple ring of paper and cut it lengthwise with a pair of scissors right down the middle, you'd get two thinner rings, right? But look at what happens here. I'm so glad I ran into that leprechaun. Well, I better turn around. Why didn't it split into two? You don't get two one-sided objects, but rather a single two-sided one. Now, what if you tried to cut it lengthwise into three? Why, look, another Möbius strip. I don't know how it got there, probably from leprechauns. Let's try it. What happens if we cut it into three? Don't try this at home without leprechaun scissors. Turn it around. So what is this? Instead of three objects, we only get two, a two-sided object linked together with a one-sided one. Why do something like that in church, right? Well, I'm certain that a Christian mathematician could spin from this a long discourse on the Holy Trinity, something about how God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit could be one, two, three, all at the same time. But all that high theology is too much for me. I'm still thinking about rainbows and leprechauns. I'm a simple person. How hard it would be to reach the end of one or catch the other, since neither seems to really exist. Not in a touching, catching sort of way. The Irish had plenty of the Holy Trinity, but very little of anything else, as they endured long years of famine, colonization, oppression, and for many, immigration to a land where they'd be exploited for cheap labor and regarded with contempt. There's a sad irony to all that business about rainbows, leprechauns, and pots of gold. Sure, that's all you need to do now, to find the one or catch the other. That's all you need to do. That's the luck of the Irish for many of us still today, isn't it? Nothing fit for a greeting card, maybe. But